The title of today's sermon is Temple of God, Part 2. So can you open your Bible to James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Today I'm going to do a mixture of preaching and teaching as the Holy Spirit helps me. James 4, 6 and 7. So we can take that from New King James, New Living Translation, and Amplified. Anyone ready?
It's NLT. James 4, 6 to 7, and it says, "But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires, as the scriptures say. God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Cameron. Yes, another reader. James 4, 6 and 7. Another version, another reader. James 4, 6 and 7. James 4, 6 and 7.
King James Version, 4, 6 and 7. "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble."
God resists the proud.
Submit.
It doesn't say like God dislikes the proud. If he said that, that's bad enough. Yeah? If he said God dislikes the proud, that's bad enough. But no. God resists. That God is taking an action to resist them. Yeah? The proud are trying to continue, but he's pushing them back because they're not ready for him. He's resisting them. But it gives grace to who? The humble. Amen. So basically, the proud are trying to come is pushing them back. The humble are struggling to come is pulling them in. Amen. Your attitude matters in the things of God. To walk with God, the attitude has to be right. And it's always going to be a attitude of humility. Amen. We are as much part of this business as God is. Amen. We have more part. The day God decided to create human beings and give them free will, you know what that free will means? God is ceding some of his power to you. Amen? We are both running the business of this world. Amen? God has ceded. He gave you some free will. He ceded some power. It's a divine power too. He ceded some to you. Now you can make some choices, some decisions. Whereas God could have made them all. Amen? Now, when you yield to God, when you humble yourself before God, it gives you grace to do what he wants you to do. But you can also use that free will to rebel. It's free will. Free will allows you to either submit or what? It's a choice. But the problem is that when you use it like that towards God, what you find from God is what? According to that verse, is what? Resistance. Amen? God is not impressed by your pride. Amen? He's only impressed by what? Your humility. He gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah? He gives grace what? The humble. Amen? So when you go on a business of pride is the art of self-promotion. Yeah? Pride is the art of self-exaltation. It's all about self. Yeah? You know what God does? He said, well, keep on doing your business. You know what it takes. Yeah? So go on. Until you hit a roadblock. Then you're going to say, oh, I need God. Hallelujah. When you get to the point where you understand that I need God, that's the day grace begins to work in your life. Hallelujah. So we say, I need God. Hallelujah. Say, I need God. Hallelujah. So, verse 7, sir. James 4, 7.
Verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God.
Submit yourself therefore to God. Another version will say, therefore, submit yourself to God. Continue.
Resist the devil.
Resist the devil.
And he will flee from you.
Amen. Amen. Now, this is not my main message. It's a preamble. But I'm sharing this to get we can understand some things. You see, whether you like it or not, in this life, you will face the devil. Sometimes you don't face him directly. You face his junior. They are called demons and evil spirits. Yeah? They will try to distract you or to derail you. Yeah? Or to discourage you. Yeah? Or to delude you or to deceive you. It's their job. It's their job, and there are many. As you go through life, they are always trying to interfere. Are you with me? So, whether you like it or not, you will need to resist the devil if you are going to live in victory. Amen? I don't know whether I should go to another point. Let's just back that up. John chapter 10. Open your Bible to John chapter 10 verse 10. Now this is just a preamble to this message. I want to show you why this message is important. So to prepare your heart to open it up. To take in everything that the temple of God will teach you today. John chapter 10 verse 10. Yes, someone else? Someone else? John 10, 10. John chapter 10 verse 10. Yes, sir.
John chapter 10 verse 10, New King James Version. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Amen. What version? New King James? Okay, another version, John 10, 10. Yes. John chapter 10 verse 10. Yes.
New Living.
Yes.
The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life.
Amen. The enemy, your enemy or your adversary is the devil. Is in the Bible, 1 Peter 5:8. Said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil. Amen. Is your enemy. And what he comes to do is what? To steal. And to what? Kill. And to what? To destroy. It's you. We face him. Whether you like it or not. Amen? You will, in this life, face situations and circumstances where Satan is trying to derail or destroy or defile you. And you will need to resist him if you will ever have the victory. Amen? Now, someone says, you know what? I'm born again, I'm a child of God. You know, I thought I already had the victory. Yes, Jesus won the victory. But you have to enforce his victory in your life. Legally, you have the victory. But you can go through all life, yeah? And live a mediocre Christian life. Yeah? Because you did not. Rabbi Bible says, the just shall live by faith. You were not planning for it, but the challenge just showed up. You were not planning for it, but it showed up. But now it has showed up. It's going to dominate you. You're not planning for the temptation, but it just showed up. Are you going to let it defy you? So you will need to resist the devil, because the business of the devil or the enemy is to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's your adversary, it's your enemy. It's not your friend. It will never be your friend. If he's smiling at you, he's still trying to get you. Hallelujah. If he gives you a gift, it's a trap. Hallelujah. If the enemy, that's Satan, gives you a gift, a good gift, it is a trap. Hallelujah. To steal or to kill or what? Destroy. So the point I'm trying to make is that we know we need to resist the devil. But I want to understand that the foundation of successfully resisting the devil is to submit to God. If your submission to God is deficient, you've lost a good foundation of resisting the devil. There's a verse that there's something Jesus said. He said, the prince of this world has come and he finds nothing in me. Amen. That's where you want to be. That nothing of Satan is with you. Amen. Nothing of Satan is what? With you. Now you have a foundation to say, Satan, get out. Because you're not keeping what? His property. Are you with me? That is the principle of consecration. Consecration prepares you to successfully resist the devil in any part of your life. Now, when you lack consecration, you'll be having some victories in some area and defeats in another area. Because your lack of consecration provides an inroad for the enemy. I want you to understand that. Hello? If you want to successfully keep the thief out, it's not just enough to have a very strong front door. Yeah? Amen? What about your windows? Amen? What about your window locks? Yeah? What about, you know, if you want to keep ants away from your house, anybody had a problem with ants? Yeah? You may lock the doors, you may lock the windows. One tiny hole somewhere. Sometimes you may never find that hole. You're looking. Where are they coming from? I'm talking from experience. Amen. Until you plug that hole. Yeah? You know, it's your house. It's not their house. The hands don't own the house. It's your house. But if there's an inroad, they will try to come through. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we stand in the name of Jesus. Stand in the victory of Jesus. Stand in the name of Jesus. Stand in the victory of Jesus. We break every power of Satan trying to come against us. We break them. In the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands off. We break your power. Declare the victory of Jesus over our life. Every contrary spirit, every demon on assignment will bind you. Will break your power. Lose your hold. Lose your hold and be gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just take some water. First Corinthians. So what I've taught you so far is just to prepare you that consecration is a foundation, yeah, for spiritual warfare or spiritual victory over Satan. You want to make sure that Satan does not have an inroad into your life. Because when he has an inroad into your life, he will take his chances. Because that's what thieves do. They take their chances. You may say, I'm born again. Yes, but the road is, so long the road is there, no matter how much you shout you're born again, they will take what? Their chances. Amen. Doesn't matter whether you are single or married. Satan wants to get you. Amen. That's why the Bible tells you, be sober and be what? Vigilant. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6. Let's read verses 9 to 11 first. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Today, most of my sermon will be on 1 Corinthians 6 because that's what I started on last week, but today I'll try to complete it. Verses 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Yes? Who has the mic first? Yes, thank you. So someone else, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Let's start from New Living Translation. New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Please listen.
Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
Amen. So this is a part of just what I was teaching last week, but let's just establish again. It's telling you that there are people, when you people who live a wrong life, will not inherit the kingdom of God. He read it, it's there. And he says, don't fool yourself. Those who indulge, so when we say indulge, we're talking about somebody who is living like this. We're not talking about somebody who just mistakenly, by mistake, yeah, it never was meant to happen. It should never have happened. They just stumbled and fell. Yeah? And then they you know, it happened, but they picked themselves back and said, never again. Never again. But these persons, they are living in it. They are continuing in it. They are living like it. It's their identity. It's their practice. It's what they do. Are you with me? I want to get the difference there. And it says that when people are living like that, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter how you try to rationalize it. They will not. Because when people are living like that, they are technically denying the Lord Jesus Christ and what he represents. Amen? Remember, I'm not talking about someone who is struggling. Somebody who is trying to make sure they are not. But somebody who is giving themselves over to these things and living like that, it doesn't matter if they attend church. It doesn't matter if they have been 20 years in church. If they are practicing a lifestyle of sin. Yeah? They are practicing it. That's sin. Sin, what sin always does, it destroys. The wages of sin is what? It's death. Hallelujah. It is death. So, Christ did not save you from sin so that you should continue in sin. Romans 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Do you know the answer is? Romans 6:1. You can check it. It said, God forbid. He saved you from sin. Yeah? So that you can live for righteousness. So you say, I'm saved from sin so I can live for righteousness. Someone said, what's the greatest problem of man? It's sin. Amen. It's what? It's sin. It's not sickness. Sickness is evil. Disease is what? Evil. Yeah? But what's the greatest problem? It's sin. So when God wants to deal with the problem, it starts on the greatest one. Because that's the foundation for every other solution. You see, if sin is reigning your life, Satan has an inroad. But we don't want any inroad to Satan. Amen? We want to shut him what? Totally out. Amen? So it says, those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to let it sink down. Don't let it sink down. You're a child of God. Let it sink down. Because that's not your identity. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah? It's not your identity. Sexual sin is not what? Your identity. Amen? Adultery, fornication is not what? Your identity. Drunkenness is what? Not what? Your identity. Yeah? Lying, deceiving is not what? Your identity. You were saved from it. Hallelujah. And you were called to live a holy life. That life which is holy is a life that God finds acceptable. Because why? Because that's, you can be useful. Let me give you a word there. It's a word that came in my spirit yesterday night. I refined it this morning. He says, Satan wants to mess you up, but Jesus wants to clean you up. Amen. Satan is permanently trying to what? Mess you up. It doesn't matter if you are born again. The more reason. The more reason. He wants to mess you up. That Bible will never call him your adversary. Yeah? Satan wants to deface, damage, defile, degrade, and destroy your body. That's his goal. So I said, why my body? Because your body is the license you have to live in this world. Without your body, you can't live where? In this world. Even when God himself wanted to live in the world, he had to get a body. Yeah? He had to get a body for Mary to be able to live what? In this world. Anyone that does not have a body does not have a right to live what? In this world. That's why when demons want to operate in this world, they are looking for a body to borrow. To operate. That's why your body is so important. Your body is not cheap. It's of greatest value. Because it's only through your body that you will function in this world. God wants to use you. And that's why the devil wants to mess you up. So that you are not useful. I want you to understand the importance of your body. So the devil wants to mess you. He wants to deface, damage, defy, degrade, destroy your body. But God wants to consecrate your body in holiness. Why? Why does God want your body to be holy? So that you can be useful. Amen? So that God can what? Use you. Amen? God can use you. Not just sitting on a bench in church. Amen? He can use you in the world. In your home, in your family, you can be his voice. Amen? You can be his model. Yeah? Someone in your family, they are confused. They are messed up. They look at you and like, oh, that girl inspires me. There's something about her that is different, that's special. There's a light in her. I need to know what that is. That's God using you. Amen? Because you have had over your body to God. Yeah? You refuse to allow the devil to mess up your body. Amen? Are you with me? God wants to use you. If God does not find people to use, the kingdom of God will not advance on the earth. Amen? If everybody, yeah, does whatever they like with their body, Satan will be dancing. He's having his way. That's what he likes. Amen? Now, when we come to Christ, we know we are coming from somewhere, but we must yield ourselves to God. And say, Lord, I'm yours now. You have your way. It's better for God to have his way with you than the devil to have his way with you. Amen? The devil, yeah, if you understand the book of Revelation, I'll give you a little bit of Revelation. In Revelation, there are two brides in Revelation. There's the bride of the beast. And there's the bride of Christ. The bride of the beast is described in Revelation 17. She's called the great harlot. She even has a title called what? The great. Yeah? He's the great harlot. Then the nickname is Babylon the Great. That's the bride of the beast. Someone say, oh, but how do I know? If you read the story, you find out that this woman, Bible says she was decked up in gold. Yeah? And pearls and precious stones. Wearing purple and I forgot the second color. You can check it. And the Bible says that she saw the woman riding on the beast. That's why I know she's the bride of what? The beast. Amen. But do you know what the beast does to his bride after using her? The beast uses his bride. He uses her. That's what the beast does. The beast what? Uses the bride. Of course, while he's using her, he's allowing her to ride him. She was feeling very powerful. Amen? Let's go there. I don't think you're following me. Revelation 17. Go to Revelation 17. Some of you don't read Revelation. And you don't even read the book on Revelation. So you don't know Revelation. You see, when God wrote that book, He wrote it for you, for your benefit. Anything God has revealed is for your benefit. There's no book in the Bible yet that you cannot read as a believer. He gave the revelation for your benefit. When you don't read it, you are missing something. Revelation 17. Can someone read for me there? Verse 1 to 2. So verse 3. Let's do from 3 to 2. Let me just go through and see what we're doing. Yes, I sorry. Revelation chapter 17, verse 3 to 6. No, 3 to 5. Revelation 17, 3 to 5. Where's the mic? Thank you. Revelation 17, 3 to 5. Yes, who is ready now? Someone else? Someone has not read? Revelation 17, 3 to 5. Please listen.
So the angel took me into the spirit, into the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had 7 heads and 10 horns, and blasphemes against God were written all over it. The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. In her hand she held a gold goblet full of obscenities and the impurities of her immorality. A mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon, the great mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world.
Amen. She was sitting on a scarlet beast. I hope you read that in verse 3. That's the beast. The other beast is the Antichrist. Amen. The bride is Babylon the Great, decked up in gold and silver and precious stones. Yeah? Are you with me? From the outside you think, man, this person is very cool. Huh? Completely decked up. Amen? And imagine such a decked up woman riding on the beast. That's powerful. Yeah? Which one looks more powerful, if you're riding on a lamb or riding on a lion? He was, I feel, very good, yeah? But if you read the end of the story, you will see the end of the story in Revelation 18. It is the horns of the beast that killed the woman. So that's what the beast does, or the devil. He will use this bride, then dump her. Or actually, he doesn't just dump. If he dump, it's bad. He will use his bride, then destroy. Ah, he's there. Just read. When you have time, read Revelation 17 and 18. After the beast finishes using the Babylon, then the horns of the beast destroy Babylon. That's what the devil does. Use and dump and destroy. However, the bride of Christ, yeah, you can read that in Revelation 19. I can show you. Let me show you. Open your Bible to Revelation 19. That is something to stimulate you to read Revelation. I want to show you the end of the story for the bride of Christ. Revelation 19. If you have time, just read, when you get back home, just read Revelation 17, 19. You see that everything I'm saying matches up. Revelation 19. Are you there? Let's read verse 7. And 8. Revelation 19. Verse 7 and 8. Yes? Where's the mic? Let's go somewhere else. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Thank you. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Yes? Who else has not read today? Yes? Revelation 19, 7 and 8. We're talking about the bride of Christ now. Look at the destiny of the bride of Christ.
Amplified version. Let us rejoice and shout for joy, exultant and triumphant. Let us celebrate and ascribe to him glory and honor, for the marriage of the Lamb at last has come, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been permitted to dress in fine, radiant linen, dazzling and white, for the fine linen is, signifies, represents the righteousness, the upright, just, and godly living, deeds and conduct, and right standing with God of the saints.
Amen. Now when you read Revelation 19, you will see something there compared to Revelation 17. The bride of the beast is decked up with jewelry. I just want you to notice it. But you see, the bride of Christ is not decked up. The bride of Christ wears fine linen. White. She's clothed in white. The bride of the beast is both in purple and what's the color? And scarlet. It's a very beautiful, expensive royal colors. But the bride of Christ is what? White. All white. And he says, that white is representing the righteousness of the saints. And that version of course, the righteous acts of the saints. That's the side comment. The main comment is that you can, the death of the bride of Christ, that the bride of Christ, the bride of the beast prostitutes for him. Are you with me? And the end is that he dumps and destroys her. But the bride of Christ, what's the end of the journey? There was a marriage. Amen? There was a marriage. That's the end. Yeah? He will not dump her. Amen? He will not leave her. Yeah? She was faithful to him. And there was what? A wedding. A wedding. A marriage. And if you follow this story, you will see that the bride of Christ not only remains with him, she reigns. She reigns with him. She reigns with him forever. Amen? And that's what I'm trying to tell you, that when you give yourself to God, body, soul, and spirit, yeah, you have an eternal destiny starting from now. It's not like when you die. Starting from now, that is clean, that is pure, that is good. You have a hope that will not, yeah, be lead to disappointment. Amen. You see, when you die with the devil, you will get some temporary pleasure. Someone say, "Well, why do people commit sexual immorality?" It's because it's pleasurable, huh? In fact, actually, any sin you commit, why do you anything you ever did, or why did you do it? You got some advantage, isn't it? But then the pain will come later. Yeah, amen. Let me take you back to 1 Corinthians 6. The time is going. I hope what I showed you there just blessed you. 1 Corinthians 6. Let's go back there and use the remaining time to just home in on the message there. So, I want us to read now verse 15. No. I need to zoom in. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. Someone else was not read today? 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. Yes. Yes, thank you. First Corinthians, please pay attention. This is very important. What I'm about to teach you now is so essential to your victory over spiritual darkness. So your victory over spiritual darkness does not start with binding and losing. It starts with consecration. Then you can bind and lose. Because your consecration gives you a firm foundation to tell Satan to get away. You can't tell Satan to get away when you have his goods. Amen? If you want Satan to get away, you have to let go of his goods. Amen? You see, there's a story in the Bible about Jacob and his uncle Laban. Yeah? When Jacob was leaving Laban, you know, God told him to leave. He went away with his wives and his children. But one of his wives, called Rachel, she took something that belonged to the devil. The gods of the idols of her father, she took it. So what happened? Laban came pursuing after them. Amen. Even after God told Laban, don't hurt him. But the claim of Laban is, somebody took what? My gods, my idols. Why will Rachel, yet the beloved wife of Jacob, take the idols of her father when she was living? Is that not an indication of something wrong in her heart? And that story did not end well. Because, you see, Rachel hid those idols. She sat on them. Yeah? And to that father, look, I'm in my period. So the father is not disturber. Yeah? If you continue the story, you find that Rachel, she died in childbirth. She did not fully enter the promised land. Yeah? Because of the goods. Yeah? Of the enemy. She was already married to Jacob. She was the most beloved wife of Jacob. But yet, keeping the goods of the enemy compromised her. And she never enjoyed the blessings. Yeah? She never explained what it means for Jacob to be Israel. That's why you cannot keep your consecration helps you to keep the devil away. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Do you have your mic? Where's my mic? Thank you. Yes.
Did that cost her salvation?
Okay, that's beyond the scope of this sermon. Otherwise, we will not finish on time. I will deal with it outside this sermon. Otherwise, time is gone. But it's a good question. So it was something worth exploring. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. I'm conscious of time, so I should finish in 10 minutes. So I want to just... Oh, man. Yes, who is ready? Yes, I can take it. Whoever is ready will be accepted. 1 Corinthians 6, 18, 20. Two versions. Please listen.
This is New Living.
Yes.
Run from sexual sin.
Run! What is it?
Run.
It's run. Doesn't matter if you are the pastor. It doesn't matter. You have to draw your boundaries. If you don't draw your boundaries, it will get you. Run! He said run. It's run. That means you don't flirt with it. If you are flirting, you are not running. If you are flirting, it will sooner or later get you. Because you are playing with it. You find it amusing. You are giggling. Flirting can be amusing. You will just giggle. You are not running. Yeah? You are not running. Some say, you know what? Okay, that only applies to single people. No! No, it applies to married people. The Christian does not care if you are single or married. Yeah? Hello? Satan does not care if you are what? Single or married. If he can get you, he get you. He doesn't care. So the key is run. You have to run. What run means is that set boundaries. Set it ahead of time. Set it in your moments of strength. Determine and say, look, there are things I won't do. I want you to understand that the reason why you will do them is because they are pleasurable. Nobody ever sinned because it was not pleasurable. Yeah? Don't play with it at all. Don't it's like, that is not in the, I don't want to go there. Amen? I don't want to what? Go there. It's like me, I'm a pastor, and I'm trying to tell every lady in this church, I don't want you to have a crutch on me. Don't even try. Because it's somewhere I don't want to go. I don't even want to enjoy the thought. You know, so I say, that man is having a crutch on you, then you smite yourself and giggle. You're not running. Amen? Amen? So, you know, like when I'm walking on the streets, I want all the boys to be dying for me. You're not running. Repackage yourself so that they are not dying for you. Amen? Because if they are dying for you, they will come, they will try to make you die with them. Are you understanding me? Repackage yourself so that they are not dying for you. Because if you are enjoying the thought that they are dying for you, you are not running. And if you are not running, it will get you. Amen? I mean, like, it may feel good to feel that you are cool. But please, in your coolness, don't allow the Satan to score one on you. Amen? Please continue reading.
No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does.
Yes. Let me ask a question. Why? Because I know that you read it, but have you ever thought, why is it that the Bible says no other sin affects the body as sexual immorality does? Let's take some answers. Why? Think about it. Because sometimes it's good to ask the question, why? Give us the continue. Finish that verse first.
For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body.
For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Now, it gives the answer, but I want to explore it. Why is no that sin affects your body like sexual immorality? That's a big statement, you know. That's yes. No. Did you want to say something?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
No, not in the mic.
Okay, go on. Yes, to me. Okay. Why? Anybody try? Help me. Anybody? Why is there no that sin affecting your body as sexual immorality? Why?
Because it compromises the temple of God, which is the body.
Yes, it's very close to the answer I want to say. That is the issue. Let me explain. The issue is spiritual. No, but before we explain here, let me ask another question. What does it mean to sin against your body? So you say, is anybody idiot that does this commits sin against his body? Why? What does it mean when you say someone has sinned against their body? What does that mean? Do you understand that statement? When if I say somebody sinned against their body, what does that mean? Come on, help me. If you sin against your body, what does that mean? It's much simpler than you're thinking. Very simple. To sin against your body, what does that mean?
You've gone against God's will.
Yes, it's simpler than that. You sin against your body.
You've desecrated something that should be holy.
Yes. Yeah, give me spiritual answers. Let's take it just basic. You sin against your body. What does that mean?
You've harmed your body.
You've harmed your body. To sin against your body is to do something that will harm it. Anything that harms your body, that you yourself... So basically, sin against your body is called self-harm. Yeah? Now, I know nobody ever did self-harm to feel bad. They did self-harm to first feel good. They may feel bad later. Are you with me? When you, as a person, take a decision to harm your body for whatever reason, you are sinning against your body. But you have to bear in context that your body is the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. And when you harm your body, you are degrading it. Maybe your body was grade A star. Now you have degraded it to grade B. Are you with me? You are harming your body. So sexual immorality is not the only thing that harms your body. There are many things we can do to harm our bodies. Yeah? If you consume drugs, yeah? Recreational drugs, they can harm what? I'm not saying all drugs. I'm not talking about medical drugs. I'm not talking about your medication. I'm talking about, so medication can even be harmful anyway. But I'm talking about recreational drugs that you are consuming for pleasure. Yeah? They give you pleasure, but they harm your body. So it is a sin against your body. I want you to understand what I'm trying to explain. The issue is that when your body is not functioning well, God cannot use you well. When your body is not presenting well, God cannot use you well. Some say, but God can see me. Yes, but he cannot use it for his highest purposes. Because 2 Timothy 2:21 tells us that he who purges himself will be a vessel unto honor, for honorable use. Are you with me? So you see, what the devil wants to do is that's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants you to harm your body. The devil wants you to degrade your body. The devil wants you to defile your body. That's what demons do. They are agents of defilement. Are you with me? Now, why sexual immorality is worse than all of them is that it's not just it's not just physically harming your body. Sexual immorality, it destroys the spiritual integrity of your body. Let me explain that so you understand. So basically, you're in Christ. Yeah? It's like your body has a cover spiritually. Yeah? That you have from God. Sexual immorality breaks that. It opens, it's like it creates a hole, a gateway for Satan to have access. It's spiritual. You have to understand it's spiritual. So why that, the reason why it's a sin of body, it allows the devil to have what? Access. He allows darkness to have access. Yeah? That's why. And now I'm preaching to you now is I'm fortifying you to not mess with it, but to flee it. But let me finish on this note. Because someone say, you know what? I know someone is there saying, oh, you know what? I don't think that's my problem. I want to tell you the one that are your problem. that tell you that you're not fleeing. Because he said we should flee. Someone say flee. I'm not against you, I'm for you. I'm here to help you be in a place that Satan does not have any good in your life. Amen? Because if Satan has a good in your life, it doesn't matter if you are the wife of Israel. Yeah? He can truncate it. Amen? No idols in your life. So that Satan does not have an entry point. So I just read this some of my notes there. It said, I'll publish the notes on, by email. He said, you need to abstain for sexual immorality in thought, word, and deed. Now let me tell you the things that show you that you're not fleeing. One, flirting. When you're flirting, you're not what? Fleeing. Amen? You're playing in this zone of evil. Flirting can be pleasurable, but it's not fleeing. You're playing. It doesn't matter if you're single or married. Single people can flirt. Married people can what? Flirt. And by the way, it's not just the person doing it. It's also the person and receiving it and enjoying it. You're enjoying it. Yeah? You don't know that you're inviting something. Amen? No lusting. Because you're lusting, you're playing in the zone. That's what I just said, you know, if someone looks at someone they're not married to, you know, with lust, they have committed a sin. Because that means mentally you're already in that zone. You are not physically in the zone, but mentally you're in the zone means that you are a step closer. Yeah? And you are much weaker. That's why it's sin. No pornography. It's the same thing. Pornography is a celebration of sexual immorality. So if you consume it, you are what? It's idolatry you are consuming too. Yeah? You are consuming something that belongs to the devil. I want you to understand me. You are what? Consuming what belongs to what? The devil. You don't want to. Because if you do, you are creating an inroad. Amen? Now if you are struggling, you have to, you must understand that it's not acceptable. You must continue to walk and pray. You pray. The Bible says we should watch and what? Pray. You watch and pray. You watch and pray. I'm not saying that, you know, nobody has the problem. I'm saying that don't let it stay. Don't let it dominate you. Resist the devil. Amen? No lustful fantasizing. It's the same as lust. No provocation. So you dress in a way to provoke others. Yeah? To lust towards you. You're going out of your way. You want to look hot. Huh? I didn't say you want to look average. You want to look what? Super hot. He was understanding. He said, well, I'm not disturbing anybody. I didn't go to meet anybody. You didn't go to meet anybody? No, but you are provoking them. Yeah? You are also playing that zone. They may not come to you to finish the business, but they'll go somewhere else because they saw you. Amen? No seduction. They are all playing in the zone of sexual what? Immorality. And no filthy language. You know, the way you talk matters. Okay, let's rise up. Time is gone. I don't have enough time to finish it, but I want you to understand that I'm teaching you, you know, I'm teaching you something that is important to making sure that you can resist the devil. And the key there is take away all the idols. Yeah? The world is so corrupt. I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually, the world is so corrupt. It's packaged with things that will corrupt you spiritually. So if you want to take everything that the world offers you, you are already morally corrupt. You may be keeping all the rules of the day, but the world, it takes idols and packages them like normal. The packaging that is okay, it's normal. Everybody does it. The only way you can filter that word out is the word of God. Amen? The word of God. The word will package lust and make it feel normal. Make it feel okay. Flirting. Make it feel normal. Make it what? Feel okay. Yeah? Seduction. Make it feel normal. Make it what? Feel okay. But you are a child of God. You must watch out for that enemy who is trying to destroy your soul. He's trying to destroy your destiny. He's trying to mess you up. When he finds an inroad, he comes in. He comes in and he's always trying to increase his territory in your life. You must say no. You must say no. And you must always say no. And it starts from submitting yourself to God and say, look, there are some things I'm just not going to allow in my life. There are some movies I won't watch. It doesn't matter if you enjoy it. If I have found it harmful to me, I won't watch it. If you like, continue to watch it. If you like, continue to flirt. Because you will, you see, Bible says, you know, when sin has conceived, yeah? No, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. I think that's James 3, I think, or James 4. Then when sin has conceived, it brings forth what? Death. It's in stages. Yeah? First thing is lust, and you say, well, I've not sinned, but it's conceiving. It's conceiving something evil. Then one day, it will just hit. Hup! He will hit you, it will shock you, you will not believe that you did it. Amen? The moment to stop it was when it was at the lost stage. Yeah? And say, Satan, you are not having a hold of this body. I belong to Jesus. Say, which will say, Satan, you are not having a hold of my body. Because my body belongs to Jesus. He said, I want you to be very intentional about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and pray. Say, Lord, my body belongs to you. My soul belongs to you. My spirit belongs to you. I will not mess about. I will not mess about with lust. I will not mess about with sin. I will not mess about with things that will harm my body. Even if it makes you look beautiful, I will still not mess with it. Because I know that it's an inroad. I know that it's an inroad. You see, Genesis 33. God called Jacob and said, Jacob, I want you to leave where you are and go and make me an altar in Bethel. And then what did Jacob call his whole family? He says, take away all the foreign gods. Take away all the idols in you. Strip yourself up. Because now, we are going to make an altar to the Lord. That's where you want to be. Say, Lord, pray. Say, Lord, any idol in my life. Someone say, what? I'm a Christian. I can't have idol. You are deceiving yourself. Yeah? Idols come from the world. Idols come from the things you pick from the world. There are things you are doing. There are things you are consuming. You know, there are things you are allowing your life because the worldly people do it. Say, Lord, every idol in my life, expose them to me. Pray. It's a good prayer. Expose them to me. Expose them to me. And I receive grace to get rid of all idols. Why? Because I belong to Jesus. It's not enough to say you belong to Jesus. You also have to practicalize it. Faith without works is dead. If you belong to Jesus, then you must strip yourself of the things that belong to Satan, that are in your life, that are in your home, that are in your room, that are in your computer or your phone. You have to strip. There are some relationships that you will need to cut and say, no more. No more. Because you know that that's an inroad for Satan. If you play with Satan, you may be giggling today. But I tell you, will not giggle for long before he strikes you like a serpent. So he said, pray and say, Lord, every idol in my life, expose them to me, reveal them to me, and give me the grace to get rid of them all. Get rid of them all. So that indeed my body can be the temple of the living God, both in word and in deed. Is anything I'm doing now that is a borderline? Some things you are doing, they are borderline. Your conscience tells you. You see, not just Pastor Ben. Your conscience tells you about some things you are doing currently that are borderline between good and evil. If I were you, I would not live on the borderline. If it's borderline, get rid of it. You see, when you are living on the borderline, you are gambling. Yeah? You are gambling. Yeah? With spiritual danger. If it's borderline, get rid of it. You want to make sure you are on the righteous side of God, not borderline. Pray and say, Lord, anything in my life today that is like, anything I'm doing, anything I'm allowing, anything I'm practicing that is borderline, expose it to me, reveal it to me. Pray. It's a good prayer. Reveal it to me. And give me the grace to part with them, to get rid of them, so that Satan has nothing in me. No idols. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bible says, what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? 2 Corinthians 6. Thank you, Lord. I rededicate myself to you, Lord. Have your way in me. Clean me up, Lord. And use me for your glory. The purpose of being cleansed up is to be used for his glory. Say, Lord, clean me up and use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.